Well, there are times in all of our lives where we feel like we want God to do something. You know how that feels. You could use some more money and you want God to help you out with that. Or you could use a new job, or you've got problems in your job, or there's a situation with a friend or a person or somebody or a parent, or just something where you feel like you want God to intervene. And you just want God to come in and do something or fix something or make something happen. We all know what that's like, and we'll cry out to him in the middle of those situations, and there's something good and healthy about that. But what if, instead of God doing something, what if he just wants to say something to us? In other words, in those situations, maybe instead of God coming in and wanting to do something or fix something or intervene in some way, maybe God just wants to say something to us. And maybe it's like that in most of our lives. Maybe every single day, instead of God doing things for us, maybe God just wants to say things to us. And if that's true, then the question is really, are we willing to listen to him? Do we hear him? Are we open to his voice? Are we attuned to what he might be saying to us every single day? And that's really hard because we can be busy people. We can be focused on all the things that we have to do. And then again, all the things that we want God to sometimes do. But I think the most important question we could ask today is, are we listening to what he might want to say to us every single day? Because I'm convinced that God is speaking to us all the time. I'm convinced that God is often saying things about himself, about this world, about our lives, about what he could do and say, and how he could intervene in our lives. I'm convinced that oftentimes he just wants to give us his perspective on our lives. And again, the question is, are we open to that? Can we hear that? Are we listening for that? Now, God speaks in many different ways. His spirit often speaks through our circumstances. Sometimes he speaks through friends. Sometimes he just speaks through our conscience, inward suggestion or in our thoughts. But I got to confess, I don't know about you, I've been a Christian for a long time, and I have a difficult time with that. That seems somewhat abstract, listening for God's spirit in the circumstances or in our conscience, all those kinds of things. Sometimes you have those gut feelings about things, and you're not sure, is that the Holy Spirit, or is that just the Mexican food I had for lunch? Like, which is it? Because I'm not always positive. For me, I just wish there was some way that God would speak more concretely. You know, so I read in the Bible about God speaking to people, and sometimes I think, was God actually speaking with a voice? And I wish he would speak like that to me. Or I wish he would actually write a message on the wall and tell me what I should think or what I should do. Or I wish it would be so nice if he would just write everything down that he wants to say to me and then just give it to me, and then I could read it. But what if God's already done that? What if this book that we've been talking about for a number of weeks is just that? What if it really is God's message to each one of us? And yeah, there's a whole lot in there about what God has done in history and in people's lives in the past. But what if ultimately it really is God's most easiest, most effective, most tangible way of speaking to us every single day? So for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about the power of the text, the power of these words. We've talked about the reliability. We've talked about the purpose of the text. But today, we're going to get really, really, really practical and talk about how God speaks to us through this text and how we can listen and how we can make ourselves available, because it's accessible to us all the time. And the question is, are we open to reading it? Are we open to hearing from it? Are we open to seeing how God could be speaking to us through these ancient words and through this ancient text? And so here's what I want to do. Today I want to challenge you in three really practical ways. Three ways to challenge you of how to be more open in listening to God's voice through this text. And the first, I actually want to give you some examples before I give you the first way, because I want to show you how different people have done this in the past, especially Jesus himself. And I want to read for you a few examples from the Bible, because if I just tell you the first way I want to challenge you, you're going to not listen anymore, because you're going to say, oh, that's easy, and I've done that, or I've been there, or that seems so simple. But first, I want to show you what this looked like in Jesus's life. Because there's a story, there's a number of stories, but there's one I want to talk about real briefly. It comes from Mark. And Jesus was in this town, and he had been healing people all day long. And he had been teaching people all day long. And he was really tired, and so he went back to the house he was staying in that night. And this is what Mark tells us happened next. Chapter 1, verse 32. We'll put it on the screen. It says, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed, and the whole town gathered at the door. Now, that's a fun way to spend your evening, right? All the sick and demon-possessed people gather at your door. Now, it seems a bit odd, but think about it. If you were sick and you were in this town, if you had been battling something all your life, if you had diabetes, if you had fibromyalgia, if you had spinal problems, if you had hip problems, if you had sight problems, if you had something that had plagued you your entire life, and you had been praying about it, and you'd been suffering through it, and it had been something that you had just... And then all of a sudden, this guy comes to town, and he's healing people, and you see somebody who's been blind all their life, and today they can see, and it was Jesus that made them see, and it's undeniable. You're going to go find this guy before he leaves town. And so Jesus had been teaching, and he'd been healing, and word had gotten around in this town, and so that night, all the people who were, it says, sick and demon-possessed showed up at the door. And this is what happened next. Verse 34. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. So he healed people all night long. He drives out demons. That's a whole nother conversation. We can talk about demon stuff some other time, but just take my word on it. He does all this stuff. He's been healing all day. He's been doing all these things. He's probably exhausted. And then look at what it says. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up. He left the house and he went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." In other words, what are you doing here by yourself? Do you know how much more there is to do? There's more people to heal, Jesus. There's more ministry to do. There's more work to be done. There's more to accomplish. There's more towns to visit. I mean, think about it. If we can do this in one town, think about what we can do in all the other. Think about all of the people. Think about how this is going to change our ministry as people start here. I mean, there's so much to do. So implication, what the heck are you doing here by yourself this morning? We got to get going. We got stuff to do. There's another story from Jesus' life in the book of Luke where Jesus had been doing something similar. He had been teaching and healing people and going from town to town, and word began to spread about what he was doing, and he was becoming more famous. And this is what Luke tells us in chapter 5, verse 15. The news about him spread all the more so that crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You see the contrast there in those statements? There's more to do than ever before. Jesus has more on his plate than ever before. He's in a busy season. He's got a lot to accomplish. He's got more responsibility, more opportunity, more work, more to do than ever before. But in the midst of that, Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and he prayed. Now, there are a number of other stories like this that we could read in the Gospels, and we're not going to read them, but they demonstrate to you and to me that Jesus made it a habit to regularly and intentionally get away from work, get away from the busyness, get away from family, get away from friends, get away from ministry, get away from everything, to just spend time listening to his Father. Now, this was so important for Jesus because he wanted to do the will of God in his life. He wanted to do the will of his Father, but how do you know how to do the will of the Father if you don't know what the will of your Father is. You have to hear it. And Jesus knew in order to do God's will, he had to hear God's will. And to hear God's will, he had to get away from everything to listen to what God was saying in his life. And so we could go on and read more passages, but you see that Jesus made it a priority. He made it a habit and a pattern to get away regularly and spend time listening for the voice of God in his life. And I think the lesson for me and for you today is that we've got to do the same thing. We've got to make it a habit. We've got to make it a pattern to get away and regularly listen for God's voice through these words in our lives. Now, Jesus didn't have a copy of the Bible like this. So when he got away, he didn't pull out his, you know, Bible or his smartphone and look things up. So that's not going to be part of his story. But I think the pattern he sets for us is that if we really want to hear what God is saying to us through these words, then we've got to establish some healthy rhythms in our lives. So the first challenge that I just want to give you this morning is really simple. It's to just read Scripture. To read Scripture. And I want to give you a few practical tips on how to do that following the pattern of Jesus in our lives. The first thing is you need to choose a regular time to read Scripture and put it in your schedule. So choose a time to read. If you can do it daily, that's great. If for you it's just a couple of times a week, that's fine. Whatever it is, if it's Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 8 a.m., like class used to be or whatever, you know, but figure out a time that you can do it. Make it regular, make it a habit, and then actually put it in your schedule. So when is it for you? Is it at night? Is that the best time for you to spend a few minutes reading these words and getting away to listen for God's voice? Is it a lunch break? I mean, do you have a job where you take a lunch break every day and it's actually a good opportunity to kind of get away and you can go sit in your car or you can go sit somewhere? And is it early in the morning? I mean, that was Jesus' habit. He was an early morning guy. I'm guessing that Jesus was really busy. I'm guessing that from the minute he woke up, people were coming to him asking for help. I'm guessing there were tons of expectations placed on him. I'm guessing that he had lots of things in his inbox waiting for him when he woke up every single morning, like lots of us. And so for him, he thought, you know, before I do anything else, I need to get away and spend time listening to the Father. Now, maybe you're not an early morning person. I don't know when it is for you, but you need to put something in your schedule. And actually put it on your schedule, put it in your phone, put it on your laptop, whatever calendar you keep, make it like an appointment where it's an appointment. I'm meeting with God during this time, during these 30 minutes on these days of the week at this time. I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to read his word and listen to him and then protect it. When other people ask if you can meet them during that time, it's like, no, I've already got an appointment. It's already set. This is the priority. This is sacred time that I've already designated to read God's scripture and spend with him. So choose a regular time, put it in your schedule. Choose a regular place. This is the second thing. Choose a regular place and remove distractions. Find a place where you can do this alone. For Jesus, the only place he could do it alone was the wilderness, the desert. And so it actually says he went out to lonely places where he could be by himself. So find a place where you can be by yourself. If you love to people watch, don't go to a coffee shop to do this because you're not going to be able to focus and listen to God's voice. Pick a place where you can do this well. In your bed at night, right before you go to bed, is probably going to be difficult. You're going to start drifting off. On the couch with the TV going is going to be difficult. You're not going to focus. When you're around a ton of other people who are going to want your time and energy, it's going to be hard. If you have your phone still on and people are texting you and calling you and you're seeing who ate what for breakfast at Facebook, whatever, if you're paying attention to all of those things, then you're not really getting away and removing the distractions and listening for God's voice. So find a regular place, Turn your phone off. There's nothing so important for 15 or 30 minutes that you need to know. Turn it off. Close the laptop. Get away from everything else. And if you have to have an old-fashioned paper version of the Bible in front of you to read, then do it. Because that's the only way we're going to be able to clear away the noise in our lives and listen for what God has to say to us. So choose a regular place and remove distractions. A couple other quick tips. Follow a reading plan for reading the Bible. Follow a reading plan. So have a plan. And sometimes read through the Bible for length. You can read through whole chapters at a time. Sometimes you might decide, you know what? I'm just going to read this one chapter for the next 2 weeks. And every time I have 15 minutes, I'm going to stop and I'm going to read the same chapter. And I'm going to see if God says something new to me each time I read it. But find a plan. And there's tons of different plans out there about how to read the Bible, how to go through it, different ways to read it, different ways to approach it. And there's not any one right plan or one wrong plan. There's a lot of different plans. So pick one and then just commit to it. And commit to it for a long period of time, for at least a couple of months. Don't try it once or twice and then give up because it's odd or strange or because in your plan you got to Leviticus and you start reading it and you're going, what is going on here? I don't understand this. What does this have to do with my life? That's okay. Stick with it and read it and open it up. And at the beginning of your time, just say, hey, God, so I'm in Leviticus 15 today and I'm just going to be honest. I have no idea what all of this means for me. I don't really see how this applies to my life. And so I'm just going to read it. And if you want to speak to me through it, I'm listening. And if you don't, that's okay. I'll read again in a couple more days. And I'm going to trust that you do speak through these words. So follow a plan and stick with it in your life. And then the last thing for this, for reading scriptures, have accountability. Have accountability. Have that just means have a friend that's following the same plan as you are. Have somebody else that's reading the same thing so that you can say, hey, did you, yeah, Leviticus 15, kind of weird, you know, looking forward to 16. We'll see how it goes. You know, but just have somebody else that's doing it with you or have a group of people that's doing it with you. And you don't have to get together and do all kinds of stuff. It's just somebody that's doing it along with you. It's like exercise, you know. How many of us try to exercise on our own and stick with it for very long? If you do, you're awesome. Like 10 points for you. But we all know if you have an exercise partner, if you have somebody who's doing it with you, or you at least have somebody who's asking you about it when you say, I'm going to the gym tomorrow. If you know they're going to probably ask you about it tomorrow night, then you're probably going to do it. So find somebody that can read along with you. So start reading the Bible. Start reading Scripture. Next week, when we wrap up this series, we're going to hand out a plan for you for the first 4 months of 2014. It's not a year-long plan, but it's more than a few weeks. It's for a few months, and we're going to challenge everybody at New Denver Church to follow this plan together. It starts January 1st, so you've got about a month, month and a half to kind of get ramped up for it, and it can be your New Year's resolution if you're looking for one of those, but wouldn't it be awesome if all of us in this community and in this group of faith together, if all of us said, yeah, let's do this together. Let's read some of the same things together and see how God speaks to us individually and corporately as a community of faith for the next few months together. So let's look for that next week. Now, there's two more ways that I want to challenge you to start engaging and pursuing this text in your life. The first, as I said, is reading scripture. But the second is to memorize scripture. Memorize scripture. I want to tell you a story. We're not actually going to read this one from the Bible. It's a bit longer. I'm just going to paraphrase it for you. But there was a period in Jesus' life where he went through a difficult and dry season. And he actually, this is one of those wilderness seasons. He went out in the wilderness. And part of the reason he went in the wilderness, it was right before his ministry began, right before he began going around teaching and preaching and healing people. And so he felt like he wanted to go and spend some time alone with the Father. And so he did that in the wilderness. And he actually fasted his whole time he was there. But it became a true wilderness for him. Maybe you've experienced that where instead of hearing God's voice, you don't hear much at all. Or maybe you even hear other voices that could lead you away from God and not towards him. And that's actually what happened with Jesus. And so he's been in this desert wilderness for a number of days. He's been fasting from food. And all of a sudden he has this thought in his mind, I'm really hungry. Now, I fast for like 2 hours and I have that thought in my mind. I don't know about you. I'm like, I'm really hungry right now. A hamburger would be amazing. And I think about all these things, but it's Jesus. So he can like snap his fingers and a hamburger can appear. And so he's literally physically hungry. And this thought goes through his mind. Oh, I could take these rocks right here in front of me. And I could snap my fingers and they could become like hot, buttery croissants. And it would just be amazing. And it's like this temptation. And in the midst of that, do you know what comes to his mind? Scripture. He remembers this verse that he memorized from the book of Deuteronomy. In the Old Testament, and it comes to his mind, he remembers it, and he says it almost out loud to himself. A person doesn't live by bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he remembers, yeah, I need bread, and at some point I'm going to eat. But that's not really what I'm dependent on. That's not really what I need to lean into. What I need to be dependent on and lean into is the voice of God. And the wisdom of God and the strength of God in my life. And so I'm going to keep listening for that. He continues to have more thoughts like that. And every time they come to him while he's in the wilderness, he remembers significant passages of Scripture, all from the book of Deuteronomy, things that he has memorized that meet him in every single temptation and every single trial that he has. And the lesson that you need to learn and the lesson that I need to learn is that sometimes God speaks to us, even in the driest seasons of our life, through the words of this book that we memorized a long time ago. So I think for all of us, wherever you're at, we need to commit some words from this book to memory so that in those moments where we're searching for something, we're searching for truth and we just need something, God can bring them to mind and speak to us through those things. So the second thing is to memorize Scripture. And let me give you just a few tips on how to do this. Memorize verses from your reading. So as you're reading through the Bible and as you establish a healthy pattern in your life, whether it's once a week or every day or however it is, and you're reading through things, when something strikes you as interesting, write it down. Have a little journal or something and copy that verse down and say, I'm gonna memorize that. There's something about that sentence or that phrase or that paragraph. There's something there that's just rich and that God speaks to me through. And so I'm gonna actually memorize it. Memorize verses from your reading that are impactful to you. The second thing is memorize verses that apply to your struggles. You know your struggles, and I know my struggles. So what are they? If you struggle with faith, find a rich verse about faith and memorize it. So that in those moments where you feel like it's just hard to trust God, something can come to your mind and you can remember, I can trust him. If you struggle with forgiveness, you know, memorize a verse about how God forgives us. So that every time that same person gets on your nerves again, you just, you don't want to forgive them. You remember, you know what? I probably get on God's nerves sometimes. And he's really patient and gracious and forgiving with me. And God can use that truth, but it has to happen through us actively pursuing it and memorizing some things. The last thing I'd say about memorizing Scripture is just do it. Just do it. Yeah, it's hard. And yeah, it's going to be difficult because we don't memorize things anymore. We don't memorize phone numbers anymore. How many phone numbers do you know? Do you even know yours? Probably not. Do we memorize directions to anybody's house anymore? No, we've got Google Maps, you know? Like, we don't memorize anything anymore. So it's going to feel like you're exercising muscles that have never been exercised. And that's okay. It'll be a little bit hard at first, but try it. And commit it to memory and say, this is helpful and I need to do this. And God wired our memories to be able to do this so that he can speak to us through this. So read scripture, memorize scripture, and then lastly, study scripture. There are times to just read the Bible through and gain a sense of what's going on in this grand story and learn some things about ancient history, those kinds of things. Read what other people have prayed and sung to God. There's times for that. There's times to memorize a specific verse of scripture that might be particularly impactful. But there's also times that we need to carve out some time and energy to really dig in and study scripture. In the book of Acts, Acts is in the New Testament, and it's called Acts because it tells the Acts of the early church. And there's a lot of stories about this guy named Paul, who was one of the first followers of Jesus, and he went around preaching to all of these towns all over the Mediterranean, telling people about Jesus. And every time he went to a town, he would actually go to the synagogue first. And he would go to Jewish people, because remember, Jesus was Jewish. He was the Messiah of the Jewish people. And he would go to the Jewish people in the synagogue there, and he would open up the Hebrew Bible, and he would begin to teach them about how everything in the Hebrew Bible was fulfilled in Jesus. Now, how did Paul get to that point in his life? Well, in a letter to one group of Christians in Galatians, we're not going to read it, but he basically tells them that one day he met Jesus on this road to Damascus, and he had this amazing experience. But then after that, he went and he spent 3 years, away in Arabia, and he studied scripture while he was there. And then he went to Jerusalem and he met with the 12 disciples and he was taught by them and he made sure that everything that he understood and believed and learned about Jesus and about God was in keeping with what God had taught in the Bible. And then he said he spent many, many more years dedicated to understanding everything that he believed. And he did all this before he went and told anybody or taught anybody or preached to anybody or did any kind of ministry. It was important for him to study what he believed and make sure that what he believed was based on truth. So it was important to Paul. And then there's one story from the book of Acts where he goes to one town called Thessalonica. It's in Greece. And he goes to the Jewish synagogue there and he begins to tell the Jewish people about Jesus. And most of them do not respond very well. In fact, there's a ruckus and there's this riot and the people start basically trying to kick him basically out of Thessalonica. And then he goes to another town called Berea, and he goes to the Jewish synagogue, and he meets with people, and he tells people about Jesus there. And look at how it's recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 17, starting in verse 10. It says, "As soon as it was night, the believers of Thessalonica," so there were a few there, "sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. On arriving there, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, for they received the message with great eagerness, and they examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. As a result, many of them believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men." You see, God was speaking to the people of Thessalonica through Paul. And God was also speaking to the people of Berea through Paul. But the people, most of them in Thessalonica, did not hear what God was saying to them. But the people in Berea every day would listen to Paul and then they would go away and they would study the Bible. They would study their scripture and they would ask the question, is all of this stuff that this guy's teaching us, is it true? Could it really be true? Does it line up with what God is showing us in his message to each one of us? And as a result, they came to the conclusion it is true. He has revealed himself through Jesus. And they found life. And they found forgiveness. And they understood God's grace. You see, studying Scripture isn't just for pastors. It's not just for people who go to seminary. It's not just for people who read books. Maybe you don't even like to read. It's not for people who like deep theology. Studying Scripture is for everybody. There's a time and a place for everyone to open this book and say, God, reveal to me and show me what is true about myself, about people around me, about this world, about who you are. And so we need to make it a habit and a priority in our lives, not to just read through the Bible, not to memorize parts of Scripture from time to time, but also to study Scripture. Let me give you a few tips about how to do that. When you study, just like when you read the Bible, and you set aside time for that, but when you study, you need to ask three important questions. Set aside some time and read a passage of Scripture, and then ask three questions. The first is, what's the context of this passage? So as I read this story about Paul and Berea, like, where is Berea? And what's Paul doing there? And what's going on? Like, what is the background and the context of this passage? And the second question to ask is one of the most important ones. What did the original author intend for the original audience? So remember, this is, you know, all of these books in this Bible were originally written by other people to a different audience. They weren't originally written to you and to me. They were written to other people. And so my question would be, why is Paul writing this letter to these people in Galatia? What did Paul try to teach them? What was Paul saying to them? How would God be speaking through Paul to those original people? Answer that question first as you study Scripture. And then the last one is, why is this important for me? Once you figure out what the context is and what God may have been saying in the original writings, then you can ask the question, what's God saying in this to me? Is there some principle here? Is there something that was going on in that time that maybe applies to my life? Is there some way that God would apply this truth or what's happening in this passage to me in the way I understand him and what's going on in my life? A couple more suggestions. Use resources. There's lots of great books and commentaries and curricula out there, so it's hard. And if you feel overwhelmed by like asking even the like original context and all that kind of stuff, you don't have to do all that yourself. There's some really great resources. We've put some suggestions online at newdenver.org/text, so you can go there. And there's recommendations for books that you can buy or stuff that's available online. Or actually just come and ask me. Just, I would love to help you. If you want to start studying the Bible more, come and ask me, how do I do that? Where can I start? What are some good resources? I would love to tell you about some resources. Talk to Dan or Stephen, one of the other pastors here. Or some of you know Jason Malik. He used to be a pastor here at New Denver, and he actually still goes here, but he works for the American Bible Society. His job is to develop resources to help people read the Bible better. So we want to help you do this. So ask us to help you with resources. And then the last thing is study with a partner or a group. Study with a partner or a group. And this is one thing that's great to do with somebody else, to literally study it. And so be a part of a group of people that says, hey, we're going to read through this and study it, and we're going to find some curriculum, or we're going to find a little book that we're going to work through. We're going to write down some questions, and then we're going to come together once every few weeks or once a month and actually talk about what we're learning. Go do that. Find friends that are interested in doing that. Find people in your missional community who might be interested in that. We're not going to come up with a big system. We don't have like a big plan of, okay, now sign up at the back. We've got all these study groups that are happening now. You should go do that. Find a group of people that you connect with, that you click with, that you want to start studying Scripture together, and then make it happen. Take on the responsibility and start making it a priority in your life. Now, admittedly, this is a lot of to-do this week. I just gave you like three big things and like four bullet points under everything. And so you could walk away from here and feel like, oh my goodness, there's so much that I'm not doing. I'm horrible and I need to start reading and memorizing and studying and all of these things. Don't do it all. Ask God right now. What do I need to do? Where do I need to start? If you've never read the Bible before, just start reading it. If you've read the Bible a lot before, but you haven't read it lately, maybe you need to start re-reading it. Maybe for you, the memorization thing is something that you need to just start on. Maybe that's what God was saying to you today when he put that idea in my mind last week. Maybe it's you just need to memorize a few things. Maybe it's studying. But whatever it is for you, ask the question, what is God calling me to do today? And how am I going to get started? One last disclaimer. Doing these things, reading the Bible, studying the Bible, memorizing the Bible, being able to like rattle off verses you've memorized like that, none of that makes you more lovable to God. None of it makes you more favorable in God's eyes. None of it makes you more acceptable to God. It's not like God is disappointed in you or me right now because I'm not doing all of these things in my life. And I need to start doing these things so that God will be proud of me because right now he's mad at me and I'm scared and so I need to start reading. No. There's nothing we can do to earn more brownie points with God or anything like that. God loves us like a good father would. But I think what God is saying is, I want to speak into your life. There's so much that I want to tell you. And the way I've told you is right here. It's so accessible to you. So I just want to help you listen to me. So we don't read the Bible because we're afraid of God. We read the Bible because we're afraid of missing God. And if we don't read it and we don't know what he wants to say to us, we will miss him. So maybe the most courageous and bold thing you could do this week to begin pursuing God in your life, because he's already pursuing you and he's already pursuing me, is to simply start sitting down a little more and reading the letter that he sent to all of us. Let me close in prayer. Lord God, we pray right now that you would help us to find time in our schedules to dedicate to this. God, I know if everybody in here is like me, we're all really, really busy. We've said yes to probably too many things. We've got too many commitments already. And yet, God, we want to say yes to you first and foremost. And I pray that you would help each one of us engage your text more. And I pray that we would find you there. And God, I pray that for those of us who have had difficulty reading the Bible in the past, you give us a new desire and passion. I pray that you would show us things about you that we've never seen before. And I pray that you would meet us in this exercise together as a church. We pray all this in your name. Amen.